time left. I guarantee that if each of us knew that we only had 1 month left to live, the way we're currently living would be drastically different. But here's the question. Why are we always waiting until we get diagnosed with a terminal illness or until a close family member passes away to actually remember and accept this and make that change in our life? Don't we want to actually take our whole life to fulfill that purpose that God has placed in our lives? So today I want us to each understand that how you live your life and what you do with your dash matters. See, God did not create you for nothing. He has a purpose for you. In Psalm 139, 13 to 14, it says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Isn't it amazing to think that God created you? Each of us was uniquely created by God. You weren't an accident. God planned for you to be here because he has a purpose for you. As we read in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, "For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has planned in advance for us to do." We are created by God to fulfill his purpose in our life. For those of us living for Christ, our dash is not our own. What are you doing with this life that God has given you? Are you living it for him? Or have you chosen to live it for yourself? In his last weeks on earth, Jesus told a parable of three men who were challenged on how they would live their dashes. In the story, we're going to see three reasons why our life and what we do with it matters to God. And those 3 points is what I want you to take away today. So, let's look at our story found in Matthew 25. We'll start at verse 14. "Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called to his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money." So the first reason why what you do with your life matters is because your life is a gift from God. I love it. Everyone's awake. They're filling in their paper. This is great. Now, if we think of this story, the master in this story is God. The 3 servants in the story, that's us. See, in those days, there weren't corporations where the wealth was kind of spread out amongst many different corporations. Instead, wealth was really concentrated on just a few households. This is a story of one of those households. The master gathers 3 of his key employees, and he trusts them with some of the property. And I want you to understand that the amount of money that he gave them was pretty significant. See, in the NIV version, it's listed as bags of gold. If you look in some other versions, they were bags of talents. A talent then was not your giftings or your abilities. That was more of a currency. A talent, it was equal to about 15 years' wages. So if you think of it, the first guy got 75 years' wages. Second guy had 30. And the last one was still given 15 years' wages. And in those days, most people lived day to day. So to have that much wealth was really unheard of. Now imagine being one of these men. Up until now, you show up each day, you follow your orders, you go maybe the extra miles some days, you clock in, you go home, and you do that again and again and again, day in and day out. Until one day you show up and this happens. This one act of generosity changes their destiny forever. See, the first servant realized this, and he went and immediately put the money to work, wasting no time because he knew this opportunity may not come again. See, we serve a generous God. Just as the master represents someone else being God, and the servants represent something else being us, the bags of gold also represent something else. In the place of the word gold, you might put your life, your mind, your abilities, maybe your spiritual gifts, your body, your will, your dash. Just like the servants in this story, God has given us the opportunity of a lifetime with the single act of sending his son to die for us in our place. He has changed our destinies forever. God, being the master in the story, stands before us and he calls each of us to him and he offers us something. Things that God offers to us, he offers to make us new creations, taking the old away and bringing the new, cleaning up our past, forgiving us of our sins. He sends his Holy Spirit to dwell in you. He tore the veil so we would have direct access to him through the Son. Gives you the armor that will defeat the evil one, to be with you even to the end of the age, to give you a hope that is alive and a peace that surpasses all understanding and a purpose for living. Those who accept these gifts and recognize the offer immediately take advantage of it and start living their dash for him, while others take what God has given, and just like the third man in the story, they bury it deep, never to be used, and continue to live their dash for themselves. So number one, what you do with your life matters because your life is a gift from God. The second reason what you do with your life matters is because God will return to settle accounts. We pick up our story in verse 19. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. The master came back to settle accounts. I bet the guy that buried all those gifts is probably kicking himself for not quite thinking things through. Maybe he thought, like so many people nowadays do, that I'll get around to using it one day. Maybe when things settle down, I'll use that, but not right now. I don't need that. It's also interesting to note that the guy who was given one talent was the one that hid it. You would have thought maybe the guy that had the most money would have taken that and hidden it to keep it safe. But no, it was the one that received the 15 years' wages. Maybe he thought his gift was too small or insignificant. Maybe he wished he had received more. If any of you were here last month when we did our sermon series on being the body, I spoke on using our gifts and talents and being the active hands and feet in the body. And that kind of mirrors this idea. See, we aren't supposed to compare our gifts to each other and wish that we had someone else's gift. See, if you spend your life wishing that you had someone else's gift, you're going to miss the life that God has given you. You need to understand that at the end of the day, God's not going to ask you, well, why didn't you live someone else's life? Why didn't you invest someone else's gifts? He's not going to ask you, why didn't you do with what you didn't have? God's going to ask exactly, what did you do with what I gave you? One day he will settle accounts with you and with me. What we did with our dash matters. So the question is, have you buried the life that God has given you? Are you living your dash for yourself? Are you living someone else's gift because you felt shortchanged in your own? We all need to come to a point in our life where we can identify, cultivate, and then invest and enjoy the gifts and life that God has given us. Can't just be a bench warmer in life either. You need to seek out ways and ministries to get involved in, to use those gifts. As Pastor Abe said earlier, we have a need for gifts in teaching in Sunday school. Maybe that's one of you. Get plugged in there. See, God doesn't make mistakes. He knew exactly what he was doing when he created you, and he knew exactly what he was doing when he gave you the gifts that he entrusted to you. He knew that those gifts would help you fulfill the purpose that he has. He has given each of us everything we need in order to live a life pleasing to him. And on the day he comes, he will want to know, what did you do with it? He's not going to ask your boss or your spouse, your friends, or your family, just you. Just as the master does in our text, if we look in verse 20, the man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will now put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Come and share in your master's happiness. I want you to notice something here. Both of those 2 men were given completely different amounts. One got 75 years' wages. One had 30 years' wages. They both put that money to work. They doubled what they had. They came back to the master. And the master said the same thing to each of them, even with their differences. He said the exact same thing. Both of them mattered just the same to the master. If we continue on to verse 24, then the man who received 1 bag of gold came and said, Master, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and I went out and I hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Have you ever noticed that when someone is trying to live their life for themselves, their life seems to be full of excuses? They always look to blame someone else or something else for the things that they do or don't do. Oh, you know, I've been busy. It's not my fault. See, like so many people, this third man is attempting to pass off the responsibility and the blame for the way that he chose to live his life. I would imagine him saying something like, Master, if life hadn't been so scary, if you had been more gracious, maybe I would have done something with it. See, the reason I didn't do anything is it's because of you. It's your fault. That's why I stayed idle. That's why I buried your gift. And if I'm thinking that that's what the guy said, I can probably guess what the master didn't say. Pretty sure the master didn't come to him and say, oh, you know, you're right. Maybe I should have been more clear. Oh, you misunderstood me. How you live your life and whether you use your gifts and talents, it doesn't really matter to me. I can see this has been very uncomfortable for you. And my primary goal in life is to make sure that you are comfortable. You are pain-free. I am so sorry I brought this whole thing up. Let's just bury it all together. He didn't say that. Verse 26 shows us what he did say. His master replies, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvested where I have not sown and gathered where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I think that this servant is not going to feel too much pain from the gnashing of teeth. The pain is going to be more of the agony of regret. Man, I missed that opportunity of a lifetime. It was there in my hands, and all I did was buried it. Each of us has a responsibility on how we live our lives. In the story, the master brings everyone to account the same way that Jesus will. And realize that third man, he wasn't being judged for anything bad. He wasn't being judged for stealing or anything like that. He was judged for doing nothing. His legacy is nothing. What legacy are you going to leave behind? Some of you may know, and for those that don't know, I'm going to be open and honest again. I'm a Broadway nerd. I love musical theater. That's where we went on our honeymoon. We went to New York City to see Broadway shows. And each year, we get the email from the NAC, Here's the Broadway tour group that's coming through. Here are the shows. We've seen 2 shows this year already. We have 2 more to see. But the first one we got to see this year was Lin-Manuel Miranda's Hamilton, one of the biggest shows on Broadway in the West End right now. And they actually have a line in this show. For those of you that don't know what it is, it's the story of Alexander Hamilton, one of the founding fathers of the United States. And towards the end of the show, he gets into a duel with Aaron Burr. And during this, he has kind of a life flash before your eyes, brain running 1,000 miles a minute moment. And he actually talks on what is a legacy. The quote says, "What is a legacy? It's planting seeds in a garden you never get to see. I wrote some notes at the beginning of a song someone will sing for me. America, you great unfinished symphony, you sent for me. You let me make a difference, a place where orphan immigrants can leave their fingerprints and rise up." When someone looks at the dash on your headstone, will they see the seeds that you planted? Will they see the fingerprints that you left on the lives of everyone that you came in touch with? That lasting mark. Casting Crowns recently wrote a song also on this same topic, and their chorus of the song says, "And I don't want to leave a legacy. No, I don't care if they remember me. Only Jesus and I only have one life to live. I'll let every second point to him. Only Jesus." When they look at that dash, is everything that you are living for pointing back to God, or is it pointing at you? What you do with your life matters because, 1, your life is a gift from God. 2, God will settle accounts. And 3, God will reward you. Back in verse 23, his master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come, share in your master's happiness." Those are the words that we all long to hear one day. "Well done, my good and faithful servant." This is the ultimate goal in life, to spend eternity worshiping our Lord and Savior face to face. See, God created each of us with the desire to spend eternity with us. He sent his only son to die so we could be with him in paradise. Revelation 3:21 reiterates this, saying, "To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne." I don't know about you, but that's pretty good motivation to live my dash the right way. Final exercise, this has nothing to do with drawing or anything. I want you to direct your attention to the screen, or maybe you want to close your eyes and picture this in your head. But I want you to picture a room, has 2 chairs in it, has a TV on the wall. One of those chairs is for you, one of them's for God. At the end of your life, you end up in this chair. And God takes out the remote and presses play. Across the screen, you see the title. It says your name and what might have happened. Imagine watching all that God wanted to do in and through your life if only you would have let him. If you would have given him control and stopped living your life for yourself. Imagine seeing on the screen all the lives that you could have touched, the people you could have given testimony to, the hopeless situations you could have changed. Imagine on the screen seeing what God could have done with your financial resources if you had only trusted him and given your first fruits back to him through tithing. Imagine seeing on the screen what he might have done in relationships if you had trusted him enough to be truthfully and fully loving. Imagine seeing what he might have done with your character
If only you had dared to confess your deepest sins, acknowledge temptation, and pursue forgiveness and growth in the opposite direction from the darkness. What you do with your life matters. But here's the good news. That movie, it's not finished yet. There's still time to change that final picture. Today, I want to close by reading a poem by Linda Ellis entitled The Dash. I read of a man who stood to speak at the funeral of a friend. He referred to the dates on the tombstone from beginning to the end. He noted that first came the date of birth and spoke the following date with tears. But he said what mattered most of all was the dash between the years. For that dash represents all the time that they spent alive here on earth. And now only those who love them know what that little line is worth. For it matters not how much we own, the cars, the house, the cash. What matters is how we live and love and how we spend our dash. So think about this long and hard. Are there things you'd like to change? For you never really know how much time is left that can still be rearranged. If we could just slow down enough to consider what's true and what is real, and always try to understand the way that other people feel, be less quick to anger and show appreciation more, and love the people in our lives like we've never loved before. If we treat each other with respect and more often wear a smile, remembering this special dash might only last a little while. So when your eulogy is being read, when your life's account is to rehash, would you be proud of the things that they say about how you spent your dash? Let's pray. God, we thank you that you have given us each life, that you've given us a life that's full of purpose. And God, may we actively seek out that purpose that you have called us to, and then live it out for you. May we make those changes in our lives that we need to make sure that when we are no longer here, that our life has pointed back to you, that others will see that light in us and turn to follow you as well, God. Pray for each person gathered here, those watching online, that they would, that you would stir in them those things that need to be changed, that we would each go from here, knowing what that is, and wanting to live our dash out, not tomorrow, not the next day, but now, for you, and stop living for ourselves, God. We ask this all in your name. Amen.